Pull up a chair. I want to tell you about an airplane that stayed in the sky for more than 2 months. Not a bomber, not a spy plane, with a tail full of fuel tanks, a little Cessna 172. The same airplane half the folks listening tonight learned to fly in. And for 64 days, 12 hours and change, that Cessna never once touched the ground. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tail Dragger, and you've found the hangar. Get comfortable, because this one is my favorite kind of story. It's not a war story, it's not a record set by a government with a blank check. It's two ordinary fellas, a stock trainer, and a stunt that got so far out of hand it became something close to beautiful. Now before we roll the prop on this thing, a word about the folks keeping the lights on. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. Your first solo that morning, the instructor climbed out and said, go around the patch by yourself, your private ticket, your instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. And every one of those coins tells a story, same as the one I'm about to tell you. Go take a look at AviationSoul.com. All right, 1958, Las Vegas. Picture the strip back then, not the glass towers you see today. Low-slung casinos out in the desert, neon buzzing against a black sky, and out on the south end, a joint called the Hacienda. Now the Hacienda had a problem. It was stuck out past the main drag, and the big-name places were pulling all the crowds. The owner needed a way to get his name in the paper, he needed a stunt, and a fella named Robert Tim walked in. With one, Tim was a slot machine mechanic at the Hacienda, but before that he'd flown B-17s and B-24s in the war. He was a pilot down in his bones, the way some men just are, and Tim had this idea rattling around in his head. He wanted to break the world record for continuous flight, not a lap around the world, not a distance run. Just staying up, refusing to land, longer than anybody ever had. Now here's where it gets interesting. The record at the time was a hair under 50 days, held by a couple of other Las Vegas boys, if you can believe it, in a Cessna 190. So this was already a Nevada obsession. Tim went to the Hacienda's owner, Doc Bailey, and pitched it. Fly a Cessna over Las Vegas for 2 months straight, paint the Hacienda's name down the side of it, and put a jar out to raise money for cancer research along the way. Charity and publicity in the same airplane. Doc Bailey said yes. He put up money for the airplane and a promise of $10,000 to a cancer fund if they pulled it off. They took a 1958 Cessna 172, a brand new airplane, and they went to work on it. And this is the part that makes a mechanic smile. You cannot just take a stock trainer and leave it up in the sky for 2 months. That little Continental engine up front is built to run a few hours and get an oil change on the ground, on a bench, with a wrench in somebody's hand. So they modified her. They tore out the right-hand door and the passenger seat and built in a little mattress, so one man could sleep while the other flew. They plumbed in an extra belly tank for fuel. They rigged an electric hoist and a hand pump. They added a small sink and a platform, a little folding step, that a man could stand on, outside the cabin door in the slipstream at flying speed, to wash himself and to tend to business we'll leave to your imagination. And they fixed it so they could change the oil and the oil filter and even swap engine parts while the thing was running and flying. The pilot for the run was Tim, and his co-pilot, the second pair of hands, was a fella named John Cook, an aircraft mechanic. That turned out to matter more than anybody knew. They tried a few times, actually. First couple of attempts, something broke or somebody got worn down, and they had to come home early. Once an alternator quit, once it was just plain exhaustion. But on the 4th of December 1958, they fired up that Continental, rolled down the runway at McCarran Field, and lifted off. And they did not come back down. Now think about what that actually means, hour after hour, day after day. The engine never stops. That noise, that steady drone of a small Continental at cruise, it's the only thing they hear. It's the last thing at night and the first thing in the morning, except there is no morning and there is no night. Not really, because you're always in the airplane. The vibration works its way into your hands, it gets into your teeth. Two men in a cabin the size of a phone booth, one flying, one trying to sleep on a thin mattress with the whole airframe humming underneath him. And the desert down below just rolls by, Vegas at night, all that neon. Vegas in the day, brown and endless out toward the mountains. Same view over and over for 2 months. Here's the piece everybody wants to know about. How in the world do you refuel an airplane that never lands? You bring the gas up to it. Twice a day, Tim and Cook would fly out to a straight, lonely stretch of road out in the desert, south of town. And down on that road, a fella named Bob Serdish would be waiting behind the wheel of a Ford convertible, a fast one, with a fuel tank mounted in it and a hose coiled up ready. The Cessna would come down low, and I mean low down, to within 20 feet of the pavement, matched up right over that car. The Ford would floor it, running flat out down the road, and the pilot up top would fly formation with an automobile, holding station, wheels of the car and wheels of the airplane damn near the same speed. Somebody in the car would hook the hose to a line the airplane dropped, and they'd pump avgas straight up into the Cessna's belly tank, while both of them barreled down a desert road at better than 70 miles an hour.
They did that twice a day for 64 days. And they did it more than 125 times without spilling those two men across the sagebrush. That right there is airmanship. That is stick and rudder work at its absolute finest, and it never made the record books as a maneuver, because it was just the chore you did to keep the real record going. That same car run brought them everything else too. Food hauled up in a little bucket on the hoist, water, fresh clothes, newspapers, so they could prove to the world what the date was. They even hoisted up parts and oil, so John Cook, the mechanic, could keep that engine alive. And keep it alive he did. Somewhere around the middle of the flight, they cleaned and serviced that Continental in flight, top to bottom, over the course of the run. Cook changed the oil, swapped the oil filter, greased what needed greasing, all while the thing was turning at cruise power and holding them 1,000 feet over the desert. There's a mechanic somewhere listening right now who just felt a chill, and you should, that is working on a running engine, in the air, with your life bolted to every turn of the wrench. But 64 days is a long time, and the airplane started to wear out. The cabin heater quit, so they got cold at night, a generator packed it in, and toward the end they lost their electrical system, which meant no autopilot. And no autopilot means one of those two exhausted men had his hands on the yoke, actively flying, every single minute. The engine was getting tired, it was down on power, the tack was reading low, and the men were worse off than the airplane. By the last week, they were flat out hallucinating. Tim admitted later that he fell asleep at the controls more than once. And only the little Cessna's natural stability, that gentle Cessna way of just wanting to fly straight and level, kept them alive while he dozed. He said he woke up one time in a slow, easy turn, the airplane just flying itself in a lazy circle over the desert while he'd been dead asleep at the wheel. That old airframe was babysitting them. Now here's the thing they were watching. The old record was just under 50 days. They blew past that. And they kept going and going. They wanted to put the new record so far out of reach that nobody would ever chase it. They landed on the 9th of February, 1959. 64 days, 22 hours and 19 minutes in the air, continuous, never once on the ground. Do the math on that engine. That little Continental ran something north of 1,500 hours without shutting down, and the airplane covered a distance if you added up all that droning around over the desert of roughly 150,000 miles. That's most of the way to the moon and better than halfway back, all of it flown in circles over Las Vegas in a 172. When they finally came down at McCarran, the story goes that the engine was so worn out, it barely wanted to make power for the landing. They set her down anyway, and two men who had not stood on solid earth in over 2 months climbed out of that cabin. They'd gone up as slot mechanic and aircraft mechanic, and they came down holding a world record that has never been broken. Let me say that again, because it's the part that gets me. That record still stands today, more than 65 years later. Every advance we've made, jet fuel, air refueling booms, autopilots that could fly to Tokyo and back, and nobody has ever again kept an airplane in the air longer than two fellas from the Hacienda did, in a stock Cessna trainer, with a mattress where the passenger seat used to be. Now, was it a stunt? Sure it was. It was a casino gimmick to sell hotel rooms out on the south end of the strip. Tim himself figured the record would get beaten inside a year or two. He was wrong. And I think the reason it's never been beaten tells you something true about flying.
Because it was never really about the airplane. The Cessna could go round and round all day. You just feed it gas. The thing that gave out, the thing that always gives out, was the people. Two human beings, cold, filthy, half-starved for real sleep, hallucinating in a cramped cabin, hand-flying a tired airplane and formating on a speeding car twice a day to stay alive. Nobody's beaten it because nobody's been willing to suffer that long for it since. And honestly, thank goodness, it was a little bit crazy, and it was magnificent. Here's my favorite coda to the whole thing. That airplane didn't get scrapped. It didn't rot in a boneyard. For years, it kicked around, changed hands, got forgotten. But she was found and restored, and today that very Cessna 172 tail number registered right there in the history hangs from the ceiling inside the Las Vegas airport, out where the folks come to grab their bags. Harry Reid International now, McCarran back then. Millions of travelers walk right underneath her every year, rolling their suitcases, staring at their phones, never once looking up at the little airplane that stayed in the sky longer than anything before or since. So next time you're stuck on a layover in Vegas, do me a favor, find that airplane, stand under it for a minute, and think about Bob Tim and John Cook, up there in the cold, in the dark, hand flying in circles, greasing a running engine, chasing a car down a desert road for a hose full of gas, back when Avijigas was cheap, and a couple of mechanics with a Cessna could stake a claim in the record books that would outlive every one of us. This story's been kept alive over the years in the aviation press and by the good people at the Howard Hughes and Las Vegas Aviation Museums who fought to save that airplane, and I'm grateful to all of them for it. You can find us anytime at radiohangar.com. I'm Taildragger. Keep the greasy side down, look up once in a while, and I'll see you back here in the hangar.